Welcome to the Apex Church podcast. Thanks for listening and we hope you enjoy today's message. Be sure to check out our website at www.apexchurch.org.uk and let us know you've been listening. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
Well, here we are, Apex Church. Today we conclude the sermon series, Stress-Free Living. We have so enjoyed preaching and looking into this subject. I have no doubt that it has spoken into your heart and into your life. All of us are facing things. All of us are dealing with things. And it's so good to know that when we go to God's word, he has a word for us literally into every situation. Whatever it looks like, wherever you are, whatever you're dealing with, we have an answer in God's word. So today, here's my subject: turning trials into triumph. James 1, 2 to 4, we read these words. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. What a great scripture. And then Philippians 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. A couple of years ago, I was driving down Queen Street here in Peterhead, and was looking for a parking space and noticed a car was pulling out, and I thought, great, thank you, Lord, you have provided. And then the car that was in front of me put on its indicator and pulled in. I was so mad. I started ranting and raving. This always happens to me. Why can't I ever get a parking space? Now, talk about an overreaction. I mean, that was way off the charts. That was out of proportion for what was actually happening. My goodness, it was a parking space. And I was really challenged and I thought, why am I so angry? What is going on, Neil? Chill. Relax. What are you doing? And immediately my mind went back to a couple of months prior to that when I was in a shopping center in Aberdeen. I was struggling to get a parking space. And I looked and I saw a space and I came around and I'm indicating to go in. As I'm indicating to go in, a car come in the other side and pulled in. Oh, you could imagine. I'd love to say I'm thinking, God bless you. I'd love to say I'm thinking, well, it's more blessed to give than to receive. It was when the folks got out the car and started to laugh that everything within me, I tell you, it was responding in the flesh. Now, once again, no big deal. But I suddenly realized when I was driving in Queen Street here in Peterhead that the reaction I was having was actually coming from something that had happened previously. There was a residue that was still in my heart and spirit. I mean, what would make you say this always happens to me? It doesn't always happen. But something in my past that I hadn't let go was affecting my today's. And I decided right there and then, folks, I'm going to reframe my thoughts. This is absolute nonsense, because I suddenly began to think, how many times in my Christian journey do I allow the past to hinder my today and my future? How many times do I look at situations and go, here we go again, typical, I knew this was going to happen, what should I have expected? You know what I was doing? I was letting the residue of my yesterday affect the way I was seeing my today. And I don't know about you, but maybe you're like that. And in our Christian walk, this scripture is very clear and so helpful. Because here's what it says. Whatever you're going through, count it pure joy. Now, let's be honest. How many of you get joyful when you're going through trials and difficult situations? Yet James tells us, listen, in your Christian walk, there is opportunity for great revelation here. That when you face difficulty, when you face challenge, Count it joy because it's going to produce something. What does it produce? Well, verse 3 tells us it's going to produce patience. Trials will produce patience. Have you ever prayed for patience? Be very careful because a trial may be coming your way. Now, what is the purpose of patience according to the scripture? The purpose is this, so that we become mature and complete, lacking nothing. How exciting is that? So here's the thought. If we turn our trials and the things that we're going through and the difficult situations into a positive thought of reframing, wait a minute, I can turn this around, this difficult situation can cause me to have patience, and the more patience is growing in me, the more complete I'm going to come in the things of God. You see, in the Christian journey, it's one of coming to a place of maturity. Long-term immaturity has no place in the life of the Christian. That's why joy is not based on what's happening. The test and the trial is going to reveal the depth of our revelation in whom God is and what he's doing working through us. That's why the Apostle Paul said in that great scripture, Philippians 3:13, that we need to forget the things that are behind and press forward into the things that are before us. Now, that's not a spiritual amnesia, because I know there's a lot of things that have happened in the past that I need to remember, because it's going to tell me, don't do that again. Don't find yourself in a situation like that again. So what the scripture is saying, of course there's things that we're not going to be able to forget, but that negative influence, that holding us back, that restricting us, that's what we've got to let go of. But it's not enough just to forget the things of the past. We're told that we've got to reach forward into the things that God has for us. Do you get that? It's a forgetting, but it's a straining or leaning forward. So how do I move past my pain and beyond what has happened to me? Because we've all faced difficult situations. You've all had your parking space experience. And rather than deal with the root issue, the problem is this. Many of us have actually learned how to live with pain. We're shackled to our past. We're chained to what has happened to us. Emotionally, we're a wreck because of that situation that happened back there that actually has no right to reside in our life today. I firmly believe this. Most of us, we're not afraid of new opportunities. We're afraid of old pain. There's a chance to do something. There's an opportunity to move forward in God. And we reflect back on an old pain or an old situation or a desperate thing that happened to us, and it restricts us. Now, here's the wonderful thing about salvation. Jesus came to set us free. Listen to one of my favorite scriptures, Luke 4:18 and 19. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, one of the translations says bruised, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Jesus declared that the Spirit of the Lord was upon him, the anointing was upon him, because there was a reason that the anointing of God came upon him and resided on Jesus. And he said very clearly that the anointing was to bring answers, recovery, and deliverance. He was anointed to fulfill the cause of the kingdom. I love salvation. I love the fact that I've been forgiven of my sins. I love the fact that I belong to the family of God. I love the fact that my name is written in that book of life. I belong to Jesus. Jesus didn't only come to bring salvation, but here on earth, he came to give us transformation, that our lives would be different and we would walk into what he calls the abundant life. Now, how does that happen? Well, let's just look at the progression of this scripture just for a few moments. He said, I've come to bring good news to the poor. Let's think of good news as a mindset Because often we've heard that expression, people have a poverty mindset or a poverty way of thinking. In other words, not just in terms of material things, but those of us that perhaps are inwardly poor, that our outlook is so poverty thinking, limited, small. In other words, Jesus came to bring good news to people in a bad situation. You know, so many of us, internal poverty is the core issue. Our minds are the target zone of the enemy, the battleground where most of us are truly defeated. I believe deception is the tool of the enemy. But if we can get our head right, we'll get our heart right. This is good news for every single person. And I believe the problem with many of us is we've taken in bad news, and because of the bad news, we're not listening to the good news of the gospel, the good news that we read through the Word of God. One of my favorite scriptures and stories in the Bible is when Jacob, who was the father of Joseph, when his sons returned and told him that Joseph actually was alive. For so many years, he hadn't been living, he'd been existing. He thought his son was dead. But when he heard that news, the Bible tells us that the spirit of Jacob revived within him. Because he had believed the report, which was wrong, he had been living his life in a certain way. He responded according to the news, even though the news wasn't true. So many of us have taken in the lie of the enemy, the deception of the enemy, the things we've seen, the things that we've heard that actually haven't been a true reflection of situations, and we have walked according to that news instead of the good news. Jesus Christ has come to set those of us with internal poverty, poverty mentality, he's come to set us free. I believe that he brings restoration. And then notice what it says. He heals the brokenhearted. The issues of our heart are so important. Jesus said, "Let not your hearts be troubled," to his disciples. We read in the scripture, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. It's so important that we're so careful about our hearts. And Jesus says, I've come to heal the brokenhearted. Listen, I know. Most of you listen to me right now. Somewhere along the journey, your heart has been broken. There's been a situation. Something has been said. You've had to deal with an issue. And you've still got a broken heart. But the promise of God is this. Here's the good news, that even though you went through that trial, he has come to bring healing. I know life may have kicked you, the church may have hurt you, and if that wrong gets into your spirit, it can take you down, whether it's true or not. Remember Saul, first king of Israel? When young David is returning from killing that giant, there was a new song that was written. Saul has slain his thousands, David his tens of thousands. And that got into Saul's spirit. He was so aggrieved that they were singing this song of praise to David. He thought, what's next? He's going to come after my throne. He let his poverty mentality affect how he responded to hearing that song. And from that time on, he was bitter against David. He tried to chase down David, who, by the way, was the Lord's anointed. You see, if we let it get into our head, and if we let it get into our heart, we're in trouble. I love that old hymn that says, he took my pain and my sorrow and made them his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone. Why do we need to get our head right? And our heart right, I'll tell you, your head will tell you what to do, but your heart will show you how to do it. Then Jesus said he's come to bring liberty to the captives. Listen, you can do something about the jail around you if you break the jail within you. Why was I losing it over a parking space? I'll tell you why. Something within me was messing with my head, and it was restricting me and binding me and limiting me. And that's not the way of God. And for some of you, you are captive to your yesterday. You're captive to what people have said. You're captive to a situation. And Jesus says, when you belong to my family, I've come to break that chain and set you free. That is good news. You see, here's what the devil wants to do. Restrict, confine, limit. He wants to anchor you to your past. One of my favorite stories is a little boy went to the circus. And after that, he went with his dad and he went to see where the elephants were. And when he saw this great big elephant, he was surprised to see that there was a rope around the foot of the elephant attached to a stake in the ground. The little boy said to his dad, "Dad, that's a little stake and that's a very big elephant. I know that it would have the power to pull that stake out of the ground and be set free." His dad said, "Son, you're right, but come with me." And he took him and showed him a baby elephant. Around its foot, it wasn't a rope, around its foot was a big, heavy chain. And the little boy watched in amazement as that baby elephant pulled and pulled and pulled and tried to set itself free, but it couldn't do it. His dad said, "Son, this is what happens. They leave that heavy chain on the elephant until it stops trying to break free. Until mentally, all it does is look down and think there's no point trying anymore. When the trainers realize that they've broken the elephant, all they need to put around it is a rope. Because when that elephant looks down, all it sees is something around its foot, and it immediately thinks, restriction, confinement, there's no point." I wonder, what's the chain that you've experienced that now you've been set free from, but when you see a rope, when you see something, when you feel something similar, you go back into that mode of there's no point trying anymore? I tell you what, we need to realize that Jesus has come. And the reason that he's come is very clear. He has come to bring liberty to the captives. And then he says it's recovery of sight to the blind. Now we know when Jesus walked on this earth, he did heal physically. He opened blind eyes. But I'm talking about perspective this morning. It's like a form of blindness. You see, so many of us are looking through the lens of pain and disappointment, challenge, that when we look at things, immediately we go back to, for me, that parking space. So the way we see people, the way we hear people, we don't realize that, wait a minute, that lens is way out. You need to get the right glasses on. We need to get the right prescription. That's why I love the fact that he came to give us eternal life. It's abundant life now here on earth, and it's eternal life forever. You see, you're looking through the lens of disappointment because of your disappointment of yesterday. So the moment a trial comes your way or a challenge, instead of saying, "Hey, wait a minute, this is joy because this is going to help me grow," you immediately shrink right back into the default setting of "here we go again." And I believe that Jesus wants to this morning open our eyes that we can see clearly and that we become recovery of sight. Recovery implies that you've lost something you once had. Maybe for some of you there's blinkers on right now. You're not seeing clearly. Jesus wants to deal with that issue right now. And here's the last thought. He brings liberty to those who are bruised. Once again, one of the translations says those who are burdened and battered. You know what a bruise is? A bruise is a hurt that hasn't healed yet. Can I say that again? A bruise is a hurt that hasn't healed yet. You'll know when you're carrying a bruise. I'm talking about something emotionally. When you go through life and you see somebody and you hear a reaction, you hear a name and you respond a certain way. You're talking about someone and your voice goes up 4 octaves. Come on, church. You know what I mean this morning. I'll tell you what you are. You're bruised. You're still tender. You haven't dealt with that issue. But the great news is you don't need to go through life with these tender spots or bruising. Jesus says that he has come to bring at liberty those who are bruised. You know, it's maybe a trigger. I've noticed this. Why would a parking space be a trigger for my anger and overreaction? I'll tell you why. I didn't realize it. I was bruised. Was I bruised because of the parking space at that shopping mall? Was I bruised because of their reaction when they came out of the car and started to laugh? Was my pride hurt? I have all that to deal with and work through. All I know was the residue meant that I was still bruised. But the promise of God this morning is that he has come to deal with every situation, and I can turn a trial into a triumph if I choose to reframe the way I'm thinking. There's so much more I could say about this, but I want to pray for you right now, because I know that I'm getting right down into your situation. Some of you are listening right now and you're thinking, my goodness, Neil, you are talking to me. Some of you are quietly thinking, no, I'm not receiving that. That's a great message for so-and-so. But you know this is the message for you. I've taken 20 minutes to quickly go through something that you've been dealing with a lifetime. In the short period of time together, I have gone through this scripture, and you know that God has put his finger on a situation in your life. Can you believe that we can get a sermon from a parking space? But the reason that we wanted to share this on this thought of stress-free living is often the stress that you're carrying is because of a residue of the past that you haven't handed over to God. Now listen, Jesus come to set you free. And I'm going to pray right now. I can't see you in your living room, but I know that where you are, God can deal with your situation. And if you want God to move for you and on your behalf, as I am praying out loud, just quietly in your heart and in your spirit, come into agreement with me. Father God, thank you for the power of your word. Lord, you're speaking to hearts. God, I know that you're bringing challenge right now in the name of Jesus. So Lord, I'm praying for the brokenhearted. I'm praying for the poor in spirit. I'm praying for those that have a sense of being bruised. I'm praying for recovery of sight. God, all these issues that I've so quickly gone through, and nevertheless, your promise was this, Jesus, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to deal with every situation. Now, Father, there are too many people listening to my voice that have carried with them long-term situation which has caused long-term damage. Set free, I pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen. And amen. Hey, you're listening to my voice, and you've never actually responded to God. Perhaps you've been tuning in online, you're enjoying our services, but you know that your life is not right before God. I'm going to pray for you right now, and perhaps you would want to pray and come into agreement with me. Maybe there's something I've said today that has hit home, and you're saying, Neil, I want this abundant life on earth. I've tried everything, and I've no satisfaction, I've no peace. You'll find true peace when you give your life over to God. And if you're brave enough today to take that challenge, and then as you make God your Lord and Savior, that you'll reframe your thinking so that your trials can become triumph, because you're going to consider it joy because you know it's helping you mature in the things of God, then please pray this prayer as I pray for you right now. Dear Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sin. I declare that you are my Lord and Savior. I ask you to come into my heart. I ask you to help me live a life that is faithful to you and to your word. In Jesus' name, amen.